You're listening to Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatto. Up next, the flu season. You know, it's underway. It's been traveling around the country, and flu vaccines may prevent you from getting the flu. But once you get it, doctors rely on different drugs to fight the flu. And this week, they have two less drugs in their arsenal. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention announced last week that two popular antivirals should not be prescribed anymore because the predominant flu strain has developed resistance to them. Here to talk about this recommendation and what it means for the rest of the flu season is David Shea. Dr. Shea is a medical epidemiologist in the influenza branch at the National Center for Infectious Diseases at the CDC. Welcome to the program, Dr. Shea.
Thanks for having me.
Tell us about, let's make clear from the outset, we're not talking about drugs, the flu vaccine here, right? That's still being recommended for people to get.
Absolutely, absolutely. We're talking about drugs, as you said in your introduction, that are used to treat influenza or used as prophylaxis in those at high risk or exposed to influenza. So these are medications and not vaccines. That's correct.
So if you got the flu and you were having trouble getting rid of it and the complications, whatever, your doctor said it's time to give you a flu drug now that you've had the drug. We're talking about that kind of medicine.
That's correct.
And what are the two medicines that you're saying are being overly used and are resistant?
The two medications are what are called adamantane class antivirals, and that includes amantadine and rimantadine. It's important to note, though, we're not necessarily saying that this resistance developed because they were being overused.
Mm-hmm.
What we're saying is that the viruses that are circulating in the United States right now, that over 90% of those that we've tested thus far are demonstrating resistance to these two medications so that they shouldn't be used. We can't yet take that next step and say that the reason for this is because the drugs were overused in the past.
Do we know what the reason might be?
That's a tough question. We do know, for instance, in areas of the world where these medications might be available in over-the-counter non-prescription type cold remedies, that there's reason to suspect that high use of the drugs could have resulted in resistance. But that's not the case in the United States, where these medicines have and always have been prescription-only drugs. It's also possible because this resistance is mediated by a single mutation or a single substitution in the amino acid chain of the M protein of influenza, it's possible that the predominant strain of influenza that's circulating this year just happens to have that mutation in it. And it's not because there's been a dramatic change in the use of the medications, but just that this random mutation has occurred and is in the predominant strain of the virus.
I noticed that one of the drugs you did not include is Tamiflu.
That's right.
Tamiflu is still effective.
It is. Oseltamivir and otherwise known as Tamiflu and Zanamivir or Relenza are another class of anti-flu medications called neuraminidase inhibitors. They act via an entirely different mechanism than the adamantane class drugs. And we have not tested any viruses at CDC this year from the United States that have demonstrated resistance to either of those two drugs, so that they should continue to be effective for the treatment of influenza this season in the United States.
So I guess then you can only speculate why Tamiflu is still working and the other ones are not.
That's true. There are a number of underlying reasons, though, that make it potentially less of a problem. One is that the mutation that results in resistance to amantadine and rimantadine doesn't impair the virus in any way. In other words, it can still transmit. It can from person to person. It can still cause disease just as easily as any other influenza virus. We know that the mutations that are necessary to confer resistance to the neuraminidase inhibitors do appear to have some selective disadvantage for the virus. In other words, it's kind of a hindrance for the virus to carry around those mutations, such that those viruses are less likely to be transmitted among people and perhaps less likely to cause disease once they infect people.
Mm-hmm.
So, it all comes back to, in this case, the specific mutations and what they do.
Right. Let's go to Joseph in Charlotte, North Carolina. Hi, Joseph. Welcome to Science Friday.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
this resistance to, you know, viruses coming up and or the methods to you know, alleviate suffering. You know, how is this similar to how antibiotics are having trouble with disease-resistant bacteria? I know antibiotics and antivirals are a little bit different, but are we looking at the same thing with the what we're having with antibiotics?
Yeah, that's a difficult question to answer quickly. The easy answer is, well, you know, we're in a situation now where we've got four drugs that are available to fight influenza infections. And, you know, we've just said that two aren't going to be effective this year among the viruses we've seen in the United States. So you can look at it one way, and we lost half of the potential drugs that we had available to fight the flu. And so that's a big deal. And we've seen similar cases in terms of certain drug-resistant bacteria where, you know, a good number of the drugs previously effective are no longer effective. A little bit more difficult thing to say, and that's what I was alluding to before, is we know that in many cases, we can, for antibiotic resistance among bacteria, we can link overuse or inappropriate use of the drug to the development of the resistance problem. In this particular instance, with these viruses that appear to be resistant to this class of drugs, it's not as easy to make that assessment because, again, it only takes one mutation in the amino acid chain of the virus to result in this resistance profile.
Good question,
Joseph. Any other reasons that might have led, rather than simple overuse of the drug, to the present situation?
How do we fix it? If I can, question.
Well, that's
a good question.
Well, that's the most
I'm going to sit back and you guys can
of them all. and there's not much that we can do to fix the problem because again, it's a single mutation that doesn't impair the fitness of the virus, if you will, in any way, shape, or form.
But the good news is you have the other two drugs still available that do work.
That is true.
And the resistance to this class of drug in no way implies or leads to or is along the pathway that might result in resistance to the other two drugs.
So we just need to keep coming up with new drugs.
We hope so. Thanks for calling, Joe.
Thank you.
Have a good weekend. Do we know that these all four drugs will work against the different kind of flu, the bird flu that is out there? Are they still effective against that?
We know that many of the viruses that have been circulating, the H5N1 avian influenza or bird flu viruses that have been circulating in, for instance, Vietnam and Thailand, also demonstrate resistance to this class of drugs, to amantadine and rimantadine. There are other H5N1 avian flu viruses circulating in Indonesia that don't necessarily contain the mutation that confers resistance. So many of the viruses that we've tested that are H5 show resistance, but not all of them.
But they do show the amantadine and rimantadine still work in the bird flu.
It works in some strains of the bird flu that we've seen, but by no means the majority.
Hmm. That's something to worry about.
Yes, it is, because these are relatively inexpensive drugs compared to the other two drugs that are easier to manufacture. So yes,
and Tamiflu is still effective in the
Tamiflu bird flu. In the vast majority of H5N1 cases where there's information. Does appear to be effective. There actually have been some, at least three cases have been identified in people who have received treatment where at least some of the viruses that were isolated from them did demonstrate resistance to the neuraminidase inhibitors, in this case to Tamiflu. But by no means have the majority of the H5N1 viruses that have been examined, most of them have not shown that resistance.
There were, last question before I let you go, there were some reports that you had to give higher doses of Tamiflu than were originally thought. Is that still, but that report has been knocked down, has it not?
Well, again, that's a complicated issue. One of the things that we know about all these antiviral drugs is that they're most effective when given within 48 hours of illness onset. Mm-hmm. It's not surprising that many of the people who have been very ill and hospitalized with avian influenza in the developing world have not gotten to medical care and have not been started on these drugs within 48 hours of illness onset. So if the drug started later, it makes it more difficult to say, well, you know, we need more. It might just be the case that they didn't get the drug soon enough, and if had they received an appropriate dose earlier in their illness, that they might have had a better outcome.
Mm-hmm. David Che, thank you for taking time to be with us.
Sure.
You're welcome.
My
Have
pleasure.
A good weekend.
Bye-bye.
Dr. David Che of the National Center for Infectious Diseases at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention in Atlanta.